Welcome to the Wednesday night Ladies Bible Study for the Fishermen Ministry. If you would like to support this ministry and our programs, please go to our website at www.thefishermenministry.org and click the donation button on the site. Thank you for your support.
Welcome, everybody, to the Women's Wednesday Night Bible Study. It's been a long time since, one, we have joined you all on Wednesday night, and also we have the pleasure of all four of us being here together, all at Grace Ranch.
Pretty cool.
It's pretty cool. So, to my right, because Karen spoke right up, is Karen, and then Megan, and I have Ann over here to my left. So we're all here together, which is really a first for us. We've had three at one time, but never four.
Not at once.
Back quite months ago. So anyways, we're in Romans 13 this week. It's a fairly short chapter, but without a doubt one of the most misunderstood chapters, but more importantly, one of the most important chapters to get a handle on and to come into obedience to. So with that, Megan is going to start.
Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation.
This reminds me of, you know, when it talks about every soul being subject to the higher powers, it's not talking about the government and, you know, yes, we are to do what the government says to do, but we're to be subject unto the higher powers of those that are above us in the Lord. And that's what this chapter is talking about. It's talking about being obedient and doing what to do. And it reminds me of a couple of verses in Hebrews. It's Hebrews 13, verse 7. This is the first one. And Hebrews 13, 7 says, "Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation." So they're going to be accountable for you because they're over you in the Lord. And that reminded me of that. And also another verse in Hebrews 13, which is Hebrews 13, 17, says, "Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." So being subject unto the higher powers is being subject to those that are over you in the Lord.
Amen. I wanted to talk a little bit about when that word subject, because we know from the testimony of many, really, but one that I think we're all very familiar with, Hagar, she obeyed. She went back and did what Sarah told her, but she was not a woman of God. She taught Ishmael to be against God and not for him. And all that time, she was doing as she was told. And subject is where you put off your own self, your own thoughts, your own understanding, and choose in its place that which those who have the rule over you command. You cannot be subject if you're going to give place to your disagreement, is really what it comes down to. And naturally, we all have disagreement. I don't know. None of us are exempt of that. But the problem with disagreement is when we give it credence or place. That's the problem. There's the assumption in that that we know, and the truth is God knows, and this is what he says, And if we want to know, this is how to know. It's really that simple. So we have to begin to exercise ourselves in putting off our disagreeableness, our contentiousness, even if it's not spoken, even if it's not acted out. And
because we always think we know better than somebody else. You know, if somebody that's over us in the Lord tells us something to do that we disagree with, then that can cause a, you know, you to not want to, you know, you've got a better idea kind of thing. And we all, I'm sure, at one time or another have thought that, well, maybe that's not such a good idea, but, you know, I'd rather do what I want to do. And this is talking about being subject and doing what they ask you to do and stop with whatever it is in your mind that you think is better.
I know the definition for subject is to be under, to be obedient, to submit yourself unto. And there's no wiggle room in that at all.
Yeah.
No, I can't say wiggle room.
Yeah. Wiggle worm. Yeah. There isn't a wiggle worm. That means there's a wiggle room in all the other stuff.
There's probably no way out of that.
Yeah, and you think about submitting yourself to another means you entrust yourself to the care of them.
Yes.
And what I guess one way I put it is when we come into the body of Christ, we leave the kingdom of this world, which we know and which we've operated in and which we've had some success that we equate with rightness in us.
Yes.
And we enter into a new kingdom, but we don't know the new kingdom's way.
Right.
We don't. God clearly states that his ways aren't ours, so how could we? And he sets up in a kingdom, he's the Lord, the King, but he sets up people under him, and it is this that he's talking about.
That's right.
And it is this that we have to be subject unto.
And the majority of people out there today will tell you the scripture has to do with the government. And
somebody's very musical.
Yeah. And in other words, they're saying that no matter what the government does or says, that we have to be subjection to that. We have to submit to it. We have to obey to it. And unfortunately, our government today is definitely against Christians. And I know years ago, you held a Bible study in your house. They were coming in saying you couldn't have a Bible study in your house. It was against the zoning laws or whatever else. They're telling people you can't. I'm not in favor of, this is my personal opinion, of the demonstrations outside of Planned Parenthood. But there are people out there who would offer to pray with others, to share the gospel and pray with them. And they were told they couldn't do that either. And some people in their hearts felt that that's what they were being told to do by the Lord. Others were out there for pride's sake. And they're coming after churches to say, you can't talk about this subject. You can't talk about that subject. Whether it's homosexuality, gay marriage, abortion, certain candidates who are in favor of those, you can't talk about them, or you'll lose your tax-exempt status. Well, they say, oh, we have to obey because the government says that. God says differently. And we have to do what God says.
Well, you know, there's when Jesus was tempted and Satan offered him the kingdoms of this world, as we know, and say, you don't have that right. Because he did have that right.
Because he was Lord of this world.
And all of history shows that this could not be practically talking about being subject to the government that is over you. Because, first of all, our very own history is, was our country as a nation, our history preceded it, was to separate, to rebel against the government that then was, which was England. Due to injustices, and they had a whole list of grievances, which was what the Declaration of Independence put forth to the world. And they, that before the Lord, they had a duty to stand. Mm-hmm. And we've all been pleased to be having been born in this nation, and yet we know that there's no government that is of God, and the proof of that, in a sense, I mean, most of the world never has been a world that serves God. There was only one nation that ever was, really, ours being one that was of likeness but not the same, and that was Israel, and there was no government. Right. There was only the higher powers at that time, until they rejected God and asked for an earthly king.
One question you could ask people who say this is that, are all governments, you're supposed to obey all governments. And I've seen others ask questions, what about Hitler? And there are people, you know, they all of a sudden start to think, because they could not have gone along with what Hitler did. But there's others who said, well, they were in the government and they were put there by God, so you have to obey them. And they don't see the ridiculousness of that.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't go along with Scripture anyways. So, and we saw it with Peter when he was commanded not to teach the gospel anymore in the synagogue. He obeyed the higher powers, which we're talking about, and rightly defining, versus the earthly powers, those who had set themselves up in the seats of authority in the Jewish nation. And they said, what is better for us, to obey you or obey God?
Right. Yes.
Well, obey God.
And that should be our answer.
It should be our answer. And really, the only way to learn that obedience is to do the word. And part of doing the word is to be subject to those whom God has set over us. It goes on in verse 2, which is an equally as important verse, that if you resist God's government, you're resisting the ordinance of God. And let me take a look at ordinance. That is arrangement and institution, instrumentality. So what God has set up, God himself has set up. They that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. And I guess the New Testament example of this is the story of Ananias and Sapphira, who lied to a man named Peter, and instantly both of them at different times dropped dead. And that's an example of this. Now, I praise God that he gives us grace, because there's not one of us that is without fault in this. Be it to a husband, be it to, the ministers God has put over us, stuff like that. And yet, if we don't realize that the importance of this, I'm not God, and I'm not going to say that person's end, but...
It says it right here. And they that resist shall receive them to themselves damnation.
Well, Hagar is an example of that, because she was there and she obeyed, but she resisted.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not us saying that they're damned, it's God saying it.
You know, and I talk to people, and I've lived with myself my whole life.
You have?
I have. I'm a survivor. I'm joking and not joking, but, you know, so people have their reasons. A lot of times it's past experience. It's fathers or some newsworthy event or whatever it is. But the truth of the matter is, it's trust God. Are you going to obey and submit to God, or are you going to hold on to your excuses and give them validity? The fact that you might struggle, the fact that you find yourself falling and have a lot to learn to overcome and do right, that's different than giving place and not ever really making that decision.
Yeah, sometimes, let's face it, we all question stuff.
Yeah.
And we question things here in the world. We actually question our authorities. That itself is not a sin. It's what you do with that.
Right, yeah, exactly. It's that choice that you make after you've
mull it over in your mind, and it comes into your mind, and then what you choose to do.
That's right.
I talked to Davey, not about like these verses, but oftentimes he'll say something and there's a discussion, you know, not dissension, but in a sense dissension, disagreement with that. And so opinions or desires or whatever. And I talked to him about that. And he said, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. But when he makes a decision, that ends it. And that means it's no longer something we even give credence to, all of our disagreements or what we would have preferred or what our way would have been. It ends it. And if we can get where it ends it, and it truly does, that's where we have it right. The other thing is we know that God's higher powers have been put here to perfect us. And there is no way around that perfection. They not only bring the Word of God rightly divided, but they also bring that that personal discernment to each of us, that we may put off that which is not of God and learn instead to put on that which is of God. And there's no other way to have it. And it has to come with submission, because it's contrary to our flesh. And it's really a choice of who's the Lord in your life. And if he is, then these verses are something you're going to want to walk in obedience to. You'll find you don't a lot of times if you choose to do it. But there isn't any excuse, but there is grace that we might.
One of the reasons why people don't look at these verses as being about higher powers in God's line of authority is because of the different versions of the Bible. Excuse me. Which it's the King James is a translation. The others are interpretations. There is a difference. And so the other versions have talk about it being government as a civil thing.
And, you know, I mean, that's one of those things that I understand. And I can see why that would be the first thing, but if you considered it and looked at the book of Acts, looked at Jesus, you know, so much of what he did really was an offense to the rulers in the Jewish synagogues of that day, who would have been the government of that day in Jerusalem, other than Rome, which was over them too. But I mean, just looking at the Jewish so-called obedience to the priests and the scribes and the Pharisees and all, they were completely offended oftentimes at what Jesus did, but he didn't walk subject to them. He walked subject to God. And I mean, the book of Acts is full of people obeying the higher powers and not obeying the earthly powers. And we have the testimony of Jesus that he didn't disagree with Satan, that this is Satan's world. This is his kingdom. We serve in a different kingdom. This is mandatory in service in that kingdom of God, period. And, you know, we have many opportunities to exercise ourselves in learning that. Children obeying their parents, wives obeying their husbands, employees obeying their employers, and all of us obeying those who had the rule over us. And, you know, I was thinking about this today, because every one of us that are partakers over any length of time, I don't know of any that may be listening otherwise, in this body, all recognize this is where the Word of God is preached in truth. So what's our problem? You know what I'm saying? We recognize that, but we won't come into obedience to this? That's a problem. We have to put off our own self, recognizing it doesn't know any good thing, and put on the Word of God and learn it.
You know, before I came here, I did not read the King James. I had one because I had a Strong's. But I read the New King James. I know I had looked at the message, this Bible was the good news, etc. But there were things that just didn't make sense. You'd read them in the Word, or they'd be, you know, not the Word. You'd read them in the version you were reading, and it didn't gel. It didn't ring true. And like you said, you know, for those who actually want, recognize that there's something wrong with that, and they want to know, the Lord will send an answer to them. If they're wanting, excuse me, they're wanting to know His truth, He will provide it for them. Lots and lots of things about just that happening. And I'm one of them. I remember that first Bible study, 2 days after I met Davey. And these things that had rummaged in my head, rumbled around for nearly 2 decades, things that didn't gel, that church taught, the answers were there. And of course, they were clear. They were just, that makes sense. Because His Word does when you are looking for truth. So.
Amen. Another thing about these other versions and the whole setup of them is they are preparing a people to receive the Antichrist. Because now you have an obedience to a government.
That's right.
And so you can see how all that is Satan's dominion, and people partake of it. Now we know better, or at least we profess to know better. The point is to do better.
Amen.
And like has been said, spoken by Davey, and I know Bob's brought it up a few times on Sunday services here in Texas, is do your best and your best will get better. And that is true. So it's important. And there is no excuse that you can have that will hold water before God. You might be able to get away with it with yourself, but that ain't going to hold water before God. So get it right. The Perrys wrote, is it also because people fear government more than God? Is that why they interpret it that way? I guess there's a twofold thing I'd say to that. First of all, a government is present, and your flesh has to interact with that. And there's a certain that can cause fear if you were put in a position where it might. I have not been put in such a position, so I cannot speak to that. But the other thing is, it's a responsibility that is one that few really want to take. That would be the thing I would say is the greater one. It's a lot easier to take the lesser path. It takes some fighting, some force to choose God's way. It's against all that we've ever done before, which gives testimony about what we've done in the past. It's against our flesh, and it always will be, because our flesh is at enmity with God. But it's with our soul, and you notice, let every soul be subject unto the higher power. This is where we choose to serve the law of God with our mind. Like Paul said, our flesh, it serves the law of sin. But with our mind, we choose this. And I think the real thing is that to walk before the Lord is both humble and humbling, which is contrary and to our flesh. And it also, you know, there is a responsibility we have in that that can be hard to grab a hold of and take. And so the easier path is to go along with your own thinking. Do your own thing, call it good. And you got a whole world out there. Some who say they're Christians, many who don't, who are happy to agree with you.
The other thing is, it is our nature as people to have a checklist. works-based sort of idea of faith, of salvation, of merit, of you name it, whatever you want. And when you fear the government, or when you look to the government instead of God, it's just completely in your nature as a person, because they give you a checklist. Do this, don't do that, do this, do, you know, they basically tell you what to do, and it's all works. And all of it, of course, takes your eyes off the Lord, but it's our nature to follow after that.
Oh, yes.
To want to look up to somebody or look down to somebody. If you're in power or looking at someone who is in power, it comes back to faith.
Yeah, we're prone to the wrong thing by nature.
But that's our flesh.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. And that's why we have to choose to fear the Lord and know that He is our protector. He is our provision. He is true.
He is true. You know, and I have to say one scripture I thought about in reading this, and I think about that frequently, because I think it's one of the most misused scriptures, and that is, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Oh, yeah. Is that what we do? That's kind of what we're talking about here. That is what we're supposed to do. And that's submission.
Absolutely. That's one of my go-to verses in the morning. First thing. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding, because that's the first thing I do in the morning. So I need to put that off.
And for you, I know, and I mean, we all have our different things we have to put off, but for you, that is what can strengthen you to stand in Him, even when you feel things about yourself that would draw you away.
Right.
So, you know, I mean, that's the thing, we press in. We press Him by faith, and we're only on verse 2 here, but you figure when we end up in heaven, oh yeah, we're going to want to be, have gotten down this subject to the Lord, and this is where we learn it. And just like with Ananias and Sapphira, the Lord struck them dead, and their blasphemy was to a man in their eyes. So, you know, this is important.
But it was, according to the word, a power ordained of God.
And they made confession of being His.
Yeah.
In their eyes, they were, like you said, they were being disobedient. They were lying to a man. But because He was God's authority at that place, they ended up being in disobedience and lying to the Holy Ghost.
Yeah. So we're having Miss Megan read tonight because Karen has passed through sickness. So we'll reserve her voice for speaking, not reading.
For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil.
Okay, stop right there. So rulers, now remember, we're talking about the rulers God has set up in His kingdom, not the kingdom of this world, who watch for our souls. They're not a terror to good works. Good works, those that have been wrought in God, by faith, by obedience, but to the evil. And you stop and think, gosh, there was a sorcerer that when Paul ministered to a ruler, and the sorcerer wanted the power, and Paul prayed that the guy be dumb, I think. He couldn't speak. Or was it blind?
Blind.
Now, that was a terror to the evil. We have when Corey and those that joined with him against Moses, the earth, never done this before, but the earth opened up and swallowed him. that was evil. He was the, you know, Moses was a power ordained of God. Kori resisted him, and many stood with Kori, and they found their end. You know, just the Israelites that exited Egypt and followed the testimony of the 10 spies with an evil report, they received, you know, that Moses was a terror to them because their works were evil, whereas we know the testimony of Joshua and Caleb, whose works were good. You know, Timothy joined with Paul, walked in obedience, had the same heart, which would have been the heart of God towards the people. He was honored. The furnace is on, for which I apologize if it's coming through.
Please don't, it's cold.
It's kind of funny, Anne has her jacket on. Robin's the one that freezes all the time. But I have my long underwear on. So, wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? You know, it's kind of funny because when you look at the testimony of Moses and Kori, the people blame Moses. When you looked at the testimony of Ananias and Sapphira and Peter, the people repented. That's the one. And, you know, when you think about it, people, as long as there's a crowd that'll agree with you, they're happy to stand in confidence in that.
Yes.
This is between you and God. I don't care how many people you can get to agree with you against one of his and somebody who has the rule over you. I don't care.
And unfortunately, the majority of people now come against people of God. You know, we are in the minority.
Well, I know, you know, I mean, even amongst people in this ministry, just not as a cut, I don't mean it as, but because we should be learning, therefore in that process we're going to stumble and fall and not always do right. But what do we do? Do we fellowship with somebody and establish the wrong? Or do we stand in what's right and bring them with us? That's the thing. And I know that in times the wrong one has been done. And I would think that, I mean, this is just part of the learning process for all of us. It's not a cut, but the point is, are we learning? And yes, I'm not saying it like we're not, but the point is, are we learning? What do we fellowship in? What do we support one another in? And are we happy to have agreement in a lie and call that good because somebody's joined with us? Or are we willing to come into obedience and agreement with the Word of God? That's really the thing. And if you do, you'll have praise of the same. And that's right from the powers that God has ordained. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. Well, will you believe that? Doesn't always feel good. I think all of us should be able to agree with the fact that sometimes it don't feel good. But it is good. The Word of God says it right here. He is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do... Did we read these yet?
Yes. Yes.
But if you're going to do evil, be afraid. For he beareth the sword. Now, this is the Word of God, and it is God's will, not in vain, for he's the minister of God, a revenger. God is executing his wrath by his servants. It's something we need to be afraid of. And I can give you an example in my life that, to me, it's a big example. It's not going to sound like a big example, but we were having a meeting, and I said I was sorry. And David's ministered for years. What sorry is, you know, sorry person. And I said I was sorry. And I knew, I'm not supposed to say these things, but it was a well-established habit that I hadn't thought highly enough to change, I guess. I know. And I said that. And he said, one day you're going to say that and I'm going to agree with you. Oh, yeah, that changed my mind real quick. I became very convinced that saying I'm sorry was something I didn't want to do. Have I done it since? Oh, yeah. But do I not do it? Yes. And I got on the phone with him after that meeting. I said, please don't ever do that, because that would have been that grace being pulled right back from me.
But it made you think of the next time you said it.
Oh, yeah.
I shouldn't have said it. And it's things like that that's how we learn, by doing things wrong like that.
And that, in a way, that was a sword.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This isn't talking about a physical sword that he gets out there and hacks you up with. But what happened with Robin, that was the sword.
And it hadn't come, but the...
It was on its way if you didn't change it.
That's right. It was out there. It was like, oh, well, that would never happen to me. I'm a good, obedient little girl, you know? Well, that was proof I wasn't. But, so...
That was him bearing the sword, not yet executed.
No. That's it.
But the thing is, this is serious. And if you haven't recognized it as serious, and how little you give serious thought to it, choose to do so. So, are we picking up on verse 5, Miss Negan?
Sure. Wherefore you must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake.
Okay. So, wherefore, because of this, this is the truth, you have to be subject. Not only for wrath, because of what the end could be if you choose not to be, but also for conscience sake. I mean, we stand before the Lord, and we stand before the world. And are we, I know Paul talks about he had a good conscience, because he ministered the truth in love to people. He did that which was right before God. He was accountable before God and for what he knew and for what he ministered. So also that we might, too, be able to have a good conscience. And I just wanted to mention one thing about the things. God's higher powers are in his kingdom, not the kingdom of this world. We're not talking about the kingdom of this world. Yeah. We're talking about God's kingdom.
That's right.
And those who have entered into it. Alrighty. Picking up then, Megan.
For this cause, pay ye tribute also. For they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor.
Okay. So, for this reason, we pay our tithes to those who minister unto us. That's what a tribute is, a tithe. And we know a tithe is there to support the minister. That's his job. That's his pay. And they are God's ministers. Like I said before, we're in this ministry because we actually say that we believe that. Well, this is one of the things that we then do because we recognize them as God's ministers. And they do attend to this continually. They watch for our souls. Render or give then to everybody what is due them. Tribute, the tithe to whom tribute is due. Custom to whom custom. Now this custom is, like we all tend to come to the Fisherman Ministry for church. In traveling, many of us will find ourselves going to other places. Well, I go to South Carolina frequently, or we go to Havasu, and things like that. And and when you go and you are ministered to by another, then you give them, you support them too. is what this is saying. You, at that point, you're receiving of them, you give a monetary offering, and it, because it is due them. Fear to whom fear, we've kind of covered that. Those who have the rule over you, wives to their husbands. And in Peter, I think it is, let me see if I can find it real quick. It's 10. 1 Peter 3, 1 and 2, it says, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Honor to whom honor. And Karen, when you read Hebrews 13:7, and it says, go back there.
Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation.
Right. And you know, there's something to that. Whose faith follow.
Yes.
Whose faith follow. Doesn't mean you have to be a cookie cutter of another person, because we're all individuals. But it's the faith that we follow. And we honor them. Negan?
Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law.
Hold on. So, you know, stop and think. We should know any man anything. Make good on promises and pay back and all that kind of stuff. But the one thing we do owe another is to love another. And that love really is to love their soul, because that's the only thing that matters. The flesh is going back to the earth. There's no salvation for our flesh. But there's a destination each of our souls shall find in the end, and it's that we're to love. So what prospers another person's soul in the Lord, or brings another person's soul into the Lord, that's love. And that's what we owe one another.
That's right.
So go ahead.
For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law.
Yep. So here you list all of the law, so to speak, or much of the law. I didn't count them down or anything. So see, they are all fulfilled when you love. When you owe and walk in love to another and are circumspect on their behalf. Love worketh no ill to its neighbor. Again, it is better for a man never to have been born than to, I can't think of the right word, but to one of these little children. In Matthew.
I think all our minds went
people and their sustenance in him is, I guess how I put it, is important to God and needs to be important to us. That doesn't mean we give place to people's fleshly shenanigans and all. Sometimes the grace of God leads us to leave things be, as has been done on each of our behalves. Many times too, but it's the soul that we love, and that's what we minister.
Well, it says, but whosoever shall offend one of these little ones, which believes in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he be drowned, and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Matthew 18:6. So it's offend.
Thank you.
It's also in Mark, also in Luke. So I think that's a pretty important one to remember.
I was just looking up in Luke 18 about the ruler who was very rich who came to the Lord. He kept these laws, but there were things that didn't require that which was his love, if you will, the place he put his affection. These were, which was his money. He didn't love the Lord with all his heart. He didn't love the poor with all his heart. He was about the rules. So he didn't love his neighbor as himself.
Yeah.
And he wasn't willing to set that aside.
At least not at that time.
No. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, but in strife, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof.
That kind of sums up in some of what we've been talking about. Knowing this, okay, this is the word of God. Know this. It's high time to awake out of sleep. And when it over here in the end, because our salvation is nearer, I mean, that just makes sense, than when we first believed. The night is far spent. Many have been asleep in the night. It's far spent. The day's at hand. So it's time to cast off the works of darkness, to put on the armor of light, going down to the last verse, to not make any provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. And that's kind of what I was talking about with all the excuses we make for why it's so difficult or why this or why that. You know, the Lord shines a light. It feels crappy sometimes. I mean, I don't disagree, and it can be a struggle to pass through things, and that's okay. We know that chastening seemeth grievous for a time. Well, it does. But it does produce the peaceable fruit of righteousness, and it does produce salvation, because as we read in verse 2, those that resist shall receive unto themselves damnation. So it's time to take God serious. It's time to not give place to all of the things that you have given place to justify yourself in your disobedience. And it's time to walk honestly in the as in the day, in the open, it from the heart. You can say, well, I don't drink, I don't chamber, I'm not wanton, and I think wantonness is really just a following every lust kind of thing. I'm not full of strife. I don't envy, you know. Riot? Well, I'm sure some husbands think their wives are pretty riotous at times. There's things to put off, and the only way we're going to put them off is through obedience to those who have the rule of rust, and through that faith that wants to learn a new way, which shines a light on the fact that our ways are worthy of putting off. They are not of him.
This verse 11 here is still in chapter 13. The time, it's high time, it's not just time, it's high time. It's
now is the time.
You're running out of it. But it's time to wake out of sleep. And the sleep is those things like not being subject to the higher powers, not loving your neighbor as yourself. Those things are being asleep, because those are the things that we have to now, being the time, we have to put off and, what did it say? Cast off the works of darkness, put on the armor of light, so that we are in obedience and subjection to those who are over us, that we love one another as ourselves. We love the Lord with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. But that sleepness is those things that he's cautioning them that they need to do. Because they're not doing it, therefore they've been asleep in those things. And the same is still true for us today.
And it's a, you know, when you said, love the Lord thy God with all your heart, mind, and strength,
and soul,
you know, it takes strength, because I know myself, sometimes I want to say, forget it, and you know, split city. I hate to admit it, but yeah, sometimes it's like it's.
You're not alone in that.
All of us do that.
And for me, it's because, you know, when I say really our ways are not his ways, to see that, gosh, my ways that have seemed intelligent, loving, and kind to me are not that. And listening to Davey, I think, this morning with some of the things he said to people, which I sit there and have I ever said stuff like that? Well, you know, not Robin. I know I'm well groomed in polite society, I guess you'd say. But it's that what brings people to ears to be open oftentimes. And that's love. And just leaving somebody with a nice impression of you is certainly love of oneself. And so many of God's ways are so uncomfortable in the beginning, but there he's offered them to us. They're there for the taking, but it takes what we've talked about tonight to learn them. So there is no other way. There's no other support for you in Christ. You can't sit there and hold on to some thread and think it's sufficient. You want it, there's only one way to get it. And if we really care about the world, it's the only way we can ever really come to the place where we manifest Christ in the world, that the world may know that he is the Lord and he died for him. Only way. So it's high time, as you pointed out very strongly, Megan, to get this right. And I thank God that his mercy and grace is there so we have the opportunity to. Because we need it as we walk this out.
There's a rather silly movie, Evan Almighty. There's one line in it that I remember periodically where so-called God goes to the wife and says, you prayed for, I don't remember what it was, but let's say it was patience. It was some attribute. And he said, do you think God's just going to give you patience, or do you think he's going to give you opportunities to practice that and to choose it? And that's what we've heard this tonight. We're going to have opportunities. They're going to be there. Are we going to see them as opportunities, or are we going to see them as being inconvenient or whatever other justification we have for not doing that which the Lord has given us to do, or is giving us the opportunity to practice and to move forward in?
And actually, we'll probably have opportunities tonight when we go over to the camp kitchen. God is good.
Yes, he is.
And he loves
Amen.
Us. And the armor of light is really putting him on in the whole armor of God. And we are accepted there because of the blood that he shed. So even our own selves and our failures, frailties, and sins don't stop us. All we have to do is turn and choose him. That's the thing. Get over ourselves and learn a new way. So I read Gail's thing, shoulder to the wheel, you know. Yes, but I also say it's where we really know that that which is impossible with us is possible with him. And by that faith of Jesus Christ, we do his will without Amen. Justification for anything less.
Amen.
And that's a head held high in him, not a drudgery, and not a bad thing. So
that reminds me of, for it is God, which
worketh
in you.
Both the will and
both to do and to do of his good pleasure. It is his will that we do these things, and he can give us both the will and the way, if our desire is to serve him.
He's actually already given it. It's whether we want to take it. Right?
That's true.
Yeah. He's given it right this night, if you want it. And like when God spoke to Abraham, and he said, I am the God that brought you up out of the land of the Chaldees. Oh, yeah, God's the one that does it. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you. That one, he shall perform it. And in that day, he's the one that brought us. Praise God and thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Alrighty. Well, good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
You are listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener-driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.